So this morning's Bhagavatam class is a series of discussions based on Krishna's appearance leading up to Janmashtami. So I don't think the verse has been written, but I will speak from the 10th canto, chapter 3, text number 13 and text number 14. So text 13, the chapter is entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. Vasudev said, My Lord, You are the Supreme Person beyond material existence, and You are the Super Soul. Your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge, by which You can be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I now understand your position perfectly. Purport. Within Vasudeva's heart, affection for his son and knowledge of the Supreme Lord's transcendental nature both awakened. In the beginning, Vasudeva thought, such a beautiful child has been born, but now Kansa will come and kill him. But when he understood that this was not an ordinary child, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became fearless. Regarding his son as a Supreme Lord, wonderful in everything, he began offering prayers appropriate for the Supreme Lord. Completely free from fear of Kansa's atrocities, he accepted the child simultaneously as an object of affection and as an object of worship by prayers. So, of course, the next verse is giving us some insight, at least for us, how to understand the Supreme Lord in his transcendental position. I'll just read the translation and the purport to text 14. My Lord, You are the same person who in the beginning created this material world by His personal external energy. After the creation of this world, the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, You appear to have entered it, although in fact You have not. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.4, the Supreme Personality of Godhead clearly explains, Bhumir aponalo vayum kama mano buddhir evacha ahankara ityam me bina prakriti astada. This material world of three modes of nature, sattva guna, rajaguna and tamaguna, is the composition of earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence and false ego. All of these energies are coming from Krishna. Yet Krishna, being always transcendental, is aloof from this material world. Those who are not in pure knowledge think that Krishna is a product of matter and that his body is material like ours. Avajananti ma mudha. In fact, however, Krishna is always aloof from this material world. In the Vedic literatures, we find the creation described in relationship to Mahavishnu as stated in the Brahma Samhita. 5:35, I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, the original personality of Godhead. By his partial planetary expansion as Mahavishnu, he enters into the material world. Then he enters every universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Then he enters all the elements, including every atom of matter, as Shirodakshay Vishnu. Such manifestations of cosmic creations are innumerable, both in the universes and in individual atoms. Govinda is partially exhibited as Antaryami, the Super Soul, who enters this material world, Anandantarasta, and who is also within the atom. The Brahma Samhita 5:48 further says, this verse describes Mahavishnu as the planetary expansion of Krishna. Mahavishnu lies on the causal ocean, and when he excels, millions of brahmanas or universes come from his pores of his body. Then when Mahavishnu inhales, all these brahmanas disappear. Thus the millions of brahmanas controlled by the brahmas and other demigods come into this material world through the breathing of Mahavishnu. Foolish persons think that when Krishna appears as the son of Vasudev, he is limited like an ordinary child. But Vasudeva was aware that although the Lord had appeared as his son, the Lord had not entered Devaki's womb and come out. Rather, the Lord was always there. The Supreme Lord is all-pervading, present within and without. Pravishta Isha Bhavasya. He only seems to have entered the womb of Devaki and to have appeared as Vasudeva's child. The expression of this knowledge by Vasudev indicates that Vasudev knew how these events took place. Vasudev was certainly a devotee of the Lord in full knowledge, and we must learn from devotees like him. Bhagavad Gita 4:34 therefore recommends tadvidhi pranipratena pariprasana sevaya. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Vasudeva begot the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet he was in full knowledge of how the Supreme Lord appeared and disappears. He was therefore Tattva Darshina, a seer of truth, because he personally saw how the Supreme Absolute Truth appeared as his son. Vasudeva was not in ignorance, thinking that because the Supreme Lord had appeared as his son, the Lord had become limited. The Lord is unlimitedly existing and all pervading inside and outside. Therefore, there is no question of his appearance or disappearance. Om Jnana Trimandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this section of Bhagavatam is explaining very nicely how Lord Krishna appears to Vasudev and Devaki. Of course, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that the mundane persons who have no knowledge of this transcendental appearance and disappearance of the Lord will probably consider that Krishna appeared just like you and me, that Vasudev and Devaki had a relationship and through the normal process was conceived in the womb, and 9 months later the child is born. But here, it is clearly explained that Vasudev could understand that when Krishna appears, it's not an ordinary event. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is appearing as the child just for many, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, many reasons are given. And the Acharyas also give many reasons of the appearance of Lord Krishna in this material world. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Paritranaya sadhuna vinasaya cha duskritam. He appears to protect the devotees and annihilates the miscreants. And that was just one purpose. But here, we can understand that why he appeared particularly to Vasudev and Devaki. Because Vasudev, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, is not an ordinary person. He is a pure devotee in full knowledge. And therefore, he was praying to the Lord so that he can come to him and as a devotee, he can render service to him. Of course, we as practicing devotees are also trained in this thought that our only business is to serve Krishna in the spirit of devotion. So we try to serve Krishna in spirit of devotion. And as we are serving Krishna with our loving affection, our devotion, there is purification of the heart takes place. And more purification of the heart takes place, then more and more Krishna is revealed to us. And as more and more Krishna is revealed to us, we actually understand his transcendental nature. Here Vasudev already understood the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. And therefore he is offering him prayers. And the prayers befitting, as Prabhupada mentions, to the Supreme Lord. Now, in our process of bhakti, we are in initial stage are recommended the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and then remembering about Krishna. Then once we have perfected this stage, then gradually we can go on to the next stage of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam. Worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, of course, there is no question of worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord unless until we understand the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, who are we going to worship? We have no understanding of the Lord. Even as little knowledge we have now, through theoretical understanding from reading the scriptures, hearing from different realized personalities, explaining to us about Krishna, still we don't understand Krishna. Because if we did understand Krishna, then it is mentioned that we would become completely blissful, full of transcendental knowledge, and full of loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. But as yet, we haven't developed that. Now we read in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about the beautiful relationships the residents of Vrindavan have with Krishna. They are full of loving relationships. All different aspects. Whether you are an elderly gopi or younger gopi, whether you are an elderly cowherd man or young cowherd man, whether you are cows and calves, whether you are peacocks and deers and monkeys, they all have wonderful relationship with the Supreme Lord. Because as it explained, that those who are present during the time of Krishna in Braj, they were not ordinary living entities. They were great exalted personalities who came to Braj to participate in this transcendental pastime of the Lord. And only those who are highly elevated and greatly exalted devotees of the Supreme Lord, very close associates of the Supreme Lord, can participate in his pastimes. So even like when we hear the pastime of Krishna breaking into the gopis' homes and breaking the pots which are containing yogurt and butter, and not just enjoying himself with this relishing the eating of butter and yogurt and sharing with his coward boys, but he's giving to the monkeys. There's that very beautiful picture described in the Bhagavatam and is painted by one of devotees, depicting this pastime. And you see, even the monkeys are relishing. Now, these monkeys are not ordinary persons. They are greatly exalted devotees of the Lord who have come as monkeys to participate in a transcendental rasa lila of Krishna. Now, when we hear all these things, we say, okay, on an intellectual level, we can understand that these are all greatly exalted personalities. They are having very beautiful pastimes, exchanges with the Supreme Lord. But then deep down in our heart, we don't have that understanding. We kind of doubt. And because we doubt, we do not have the spirit of full surrender to the Supreme Lord. Because as is mentioned here, that if we are fully realized in who is the Supreme Lord, just like Vasudev, fully realized about the Supreme Lord, then he is just not concerned about it. He becomes completely fearless. And he is now offering prayers, wonderful prayers. So where is the question for us to offer prayers? Of course, in the next stage of the nine process of bhakti, Pada Sevanam and Archanam, worship of the Lord. Now, we are very fortunate that by the mercy of Prabhupada, he has introduced us to the transcendental form of the Lord in the form of deities to worship, to do archa worship. But how many of us are eager to worship? the Supreme Lord. Because if we understand that this Lord is so kind that he manifests himself in this beautiful form as the deities to accept our service, to accept our worship, how many of us are knocking on the door of Gadadhar Prabhu and saying, Prabhu, I want to come and worship the lordships, Radha Gokula Nanda, Shishi Gonitai, Shishi Sitaram, Lakshman Hanuman. He is having a hard time trying to fill in the rota of putting in people at different stage to come and offer service for Radha Gokula Nanda. But if you really understand that this is the Lord who has come here specifically for you and me, so that we can render service to him, but we don't have that eagerness to come and serve him. When we are beginning to develop a little inclination towards coming and serving the Lord, then we know that we are actually making progress in spiritual life. There are many devotees, of course, through the process of Diksha. They have taken Harinam Diksha, and then gradually they have taken Brahmin Diksha. Of course, what does it mean for Brahmin Diksha? When we get Brahmin Diksha, we feel very proud that now I have advanced. I have now gone a stage further up. I am now a Brahmana. And what does Brahmana mean? Nothing. Unless and until you develop the qualities of a Brahmana, you're not a Brahmana. And if you develop the qualities of Brahmana, then what is a Brahmana's duty? Is to perform yajna. And there are many different types of yajnas. But one of the most important yajna which we can perform is Harinam Sankirtan Yajna. Because this is the established form of yajna by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this day and age for us. Now even that we cannot do perfectly. Because if you were chanting the holy name perfectly, we would be always be blissed out. Totally blissed out. But we find occasional few moments in our life when we are little blissed out, but mostly we are morose and grossed out and thinking, this body is not good. Especially I can speak for it personally, because I find now at this age and this time of my life, I'm kind of getting a little old and practically experiencing what Bhagavad Gita says what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Janma mritya jara vyadhi. Janma, I don't remember the feeling of taking birth. Because when I took birth in this material world, I was completely senseless person. My mother probably remembers her pain, but I don't remember anything. But I remember my childhood. And now I'm getting old, jara. So there I'm experiencing. And vyadhi, disease condition, definitely I'm experiencing now. Because there are so many diseases known and unknown to mankind, which are all taking shelter in this body. And eventually, of course, mrityu will come. That is all up to the Lord when he decides when to switch the light off. But the point is that we are experiencing this and we understand this. But on a transcendental platform, where one comes to the platform of performing bhakti yoga, specifically by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we get access to chanting the holy name of the Lord. And we are chanting, are we feeling that ecstasy? Are we getting connected to Krishna? And when we are we actually getting more and more purification of the heart, that more and more Krishna has been revealed in our heart. And when Krishna is more and more revealed in our heart, then what is our next step? We become more and more attracted to him. Spontaneously. As mentioned here, when Krishna appeared in the heart of Vasudev, and then it was transferred into the heart of Devaki, and then Krishna appeared in front of them, Vasudev immediately understood that this is not an ordinary person. This is the Supreme Lord. We are also somewhat in a similar position. Although every year, come August, September, depending on the Tithi's movement, Janmashtami comes, and some of us, a month before, are all getting fired up and geared up, Janmashtami, Janmashtami, running around like a headless chicken all over the place, doing so many things, you know, giving up your devotional attire, putting on a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, and out there in the fields doing all kinds of work, Janmashtami, Janmashtami. And it's a very good feeling that, yes, you know, you are at least for that period, you are thinking of Krishna. But Krishna is appearing every day, every morning. Every morning at 4:30 sharp, the pujari gives you a signal by blowing the conch. And the curtains open and Krishna is appearing in front of us. Every morning. It's a Janmashtami. Because the appearance of the Lord is Janmashtami. Because here is mentioned that the appearance or disappearance of the Lord is not in question. He doesn't appear and doesn't disappear. He is always there. As Prabhupada explains in one analogy, that every morning when the sun is rising on the eastern horizon, the darkness is dissipated and brightness comes, light comes. And come evening, the sun in the western horizon is setting and there's darkness prevailing. And we are thinking, well, sun has appeared, now sun has disappeared. But does the sun disappear at all? No, because it is constantly somewhere on the other part of the world, which is out of our vision. And therefore we see technically that it has disappeared from our eyesight, but it is always there. So similarly, the Supreme Lord never disappears. He's always there. It's a question of connecting with Him. You know, externally we connect with Him through our eyes and we see the form of the Lord manifesting in His Acha Vigraha. Or sometimes He would manifest Himself personally and walk amongst us. But we are unfortunate that we can experience that. I've given this example that especially now, we are preparing for Janmashtami, and come on the day of Janmashtami, we'll be all hyped up about Krishna Janmashtami and meditating on Krishna, hopefully, and praying to Krishna, remembering Him, and then all of a sudden, the Bhaktivedanta players are going to put up a play on the stage, and you find the different devotees who are playing a different character from the Krishna's pastime, and you find one person who is dressed up as Krishna and is walking around, and you look at him and says, Bhaktivedanta players, they're going to perform a play. But little do you know that it is actually Krishna walking amongst you. But you cannot recognize Him. Unless until, of course, Krishna reveals Himself to you, then you'll be able to see Him. Otherwise, you cannot see Him, even though you are right in front of Him. And I say this consciously, that we are right now sitting here in the temple room, in front of Radha Gokulananda. Krishna has manifested Himself in that beautiful form. He's right there. We can see Him with our eyes. But can we see Him interacting with us? You know, you stand in front of the Lord and fold your palms together and say, oh dear Lord, I'm so happy to see You. And the Lord says, I'm happy to see You also. But do you hear that? Because when we are in front of Krishna, in His temple room, and we are praying to Him, that I'm so happy that You have let me become a devotee, I'm so happy I'm here, I'm so happy I can see You, Krishna is also reciprocating. Because Krishna reciprocates with everyone. But we cannot feel that exchange. Because as yet, we have not connected with Krishna on that level. And to understand this point, of course, there's a pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Brahmana who went to Vrindavan. And he promised the young Brahmana that since you have served me so nicely, I think that you are qualified to take my daughter's hand in marriage and take care of my daughter. As a responsible father, he's always looking for a responsible person who will take care of his daughter. So here, the Brahmana is promising the young Brahmana, the daughter in hand of marriage to the young Brahmana. And the young Brahmana said, this is very well you are saying now, but what if later on there is a disagreement from your family members? Because I'm not very rich. I'm a poor person. And naturally, the other family members would probably be concerned that if the daughter of the house is going to get married to a poor guy, how she's going to be maintained. So, of course, he's saying, the Lord is our witness. And we all know the pastime, that later on, exactly what the fear of the young Brahmana was, happened, and then Krishna had to come as a witness. And he actually walked all the way from Vrindavan to what we know is present-day Shakshi Gopal, or in those days known as, I think, Vidyanagar. And Krishna came there and personally said, we are a witness to the act that happened in Vrindavan sometime before. So Krishna does speak, and there are many examples where the Supreme Lord, He manifests himself in the transcendental features, and he comes and interacts with his devotees. Some are very good interactions and some are not very good interactions. For example, Ramanuja, you know, he was in Jagannath Puri, and he was a very stalwart, smart Brahmana, you know, very, very particular about rules, regulations, and how everything is done for worship of the Lord. As you know, today, if you visit all the temples in South India which are connected with Sri Sampradaya, they are very particular in the worship of the Lord. And this is all the standards which are set up by Ramanujacharya himself. But when he came to Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, and he saw Lord Jagannath's pujaris were somewhat easygoing, you know. So he was kind of complaining that, why you guys are doing like this? So when he was sleeping at night, Lord Jagannath came and whacked him one on his face. Said, how dare you offend my devotees who are serving me? I am happy with their service. Who are you to complain about how they serve me? I'm not complaining. Because of course the Lord doesn't look at the rules, regulations or rituals how you do it. Although from our side, we have to maintain this thing to show our intent. But the Lord sees the devotion in that. So the Lord smacked Ramanuja, and when he woke up in the morning, he ended up in South India. He was sleeping in Jagannath Puri and he ended up in South India. So it was not a very pleasant thing to come and be smacked by the Lord, but on the transcendental side, it is a wonderful act that at least Lord appreciated, and he touched with his lotus hand on his face and purified him. And then another one we know, example of how Lord sees our devotion, although Lord understands that we are not in the highest pure state of consciousness and purity. So in the Ramayana we know Sabri Devi, she was old and her eyes were very weak, so she could not see things very clearly. But she was very eager to receive Lord Ramachandra. And she heard that Lord Ramachandra is very soon going to come and going to go pass across her hermitage where she was staying in the forest. So Sabri, she went into the forest and looked for a different kind of berries. And of course, she wanted to make sure these berries she offered to Lord Ramachandra are very ripe and edible. So every time she picks up some berries, she would look at it, smell it, and then take a little bite. And if it's perfect, she would keep aside. If it's not perfect, she would throw it away and discard. And then she accumulated a bowl full of berries. And when Ramachandra came, with great devotion, she offered Lord Ramachandra these berries. And of course, Lakshman got agitated and saying, how can you offer these contaminated berries to Lord Ram? Of course, Lord Ram doesn't see them as contaminated. Lord Rama sees that the devotion and the intent to make sure that whatever she offers Ram is perfect. And therefore, that is what the Lord sees. He doesn't see the imperfection in it. He sees the perfection. Of course, I don't advocate that we should, go and pick up fruits and edibles and taste it first, you know, and say, oh, this is good. Maybe you'll make a nice plate and now offer it to Gokulananda. I think Gokulananda will not be too appreciative, and specifically the temple management will not be very appreciative either. But the point is that we are not in the same mood of sabri. But on the other hand, we see the Lord reciprocates with his devotees when there is an intent to serve him with love. And that is what we have to develop here. Otherwise, it is mentioned here as the purport to text 14. Prabhupada is very clearly describing the Supreme Lord and how he enters into this material world. And very scientifically, he is giving a whole detailed explanation. And the whole Bhagavatam is based on very particular scientific explanation of the Lord. At the same time here, he says that he's citing Brahma Samhita, where he's saying that the Lord expands as Mahavishnu. And that Mahavishnu then expands as many planetary Vishnus in a different universes. And in all different universes, that Mahavishnu takes up a position of different pastimes of the Lord. But once in the day of Brahma, it is not the Mahavishnu who expands in his Krishna form. He is Krishna himself who comes directly. And he manifests in this material world. That is why he's saying he is in the material world and he's not in the material world. Now it's very difficult to understand that concept. Because when we are thinking about intellectually or trying to understand through our material knowledge, how something can be there and not be there. But here Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is here, but at the same time he's not here. Of course, the Lord is not bound by material laws of physics. He is beyond. So, as we understand from the scriptures, that 5,000 years ago, when Krishna appeared to Vasudeva and Devaki, that wasn't the Mahavishnu expansion, that was actual Krishna, the original Adipurusha, who appeared to give mercy to Vasudeva and Devaki. And later on, when Krishna had appeared, at the stroke of midnight, he was transferred from Mathura to Gokul, to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And the pleasure of childhood pastimes and childhood relationship was experienced by Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, not by Devaki and Vasudev. Because as soon as Krishna appeared, the stroke of midnight, Devaki was fearful that already six of her sons have been killed by Kans. The very next day, as Kans gets to know that the child has been born, he would come and immediately kill them. So Devaki was fearful that same fate will be there for Krishna. But as Vasudeva understands, he's not an ordinary child. So by transcendental understanding and intelligence given by Krishna to Vasudev, everything is created such perfectly that everyone goes into deep slumber. And Vasudev takes Krishna across the Yamuna towards Gokul and then presents Krishna to Nanda Maharaj. And then Nanda Maharaj very gracefully accepts Krishna. And the daughter born to Nanda Maharaj is given to Vasudev so that Vasudev can bring that back, because Kansa knows that there is a child going to be born, because just as I said, that Krishna did not appear in Devaki's womb like an ordinary person. He manifested, but the symptoms of pregnancy were there, that, you know, Devaki's midrib was quite bulgy, so there was a child in there. Not knowing whether it's a boy or a girl, but Kansa did not care. He said, any child born of Devaki and Vasudev is death personification for him, so he would kill them. So he knew that at some stage, the child is going to be born. So the replacement came as the daughter of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Now, the transcendental understanding is given that Yashoda, when she was giving birth to her child, due to labor pain and exhaustion, after the child is born, she was unconscious. So she did not know whether she gave birth to a boy or a girl. So when Vasudeva brought Krishna and replaced the girl child with the boy, with Krishna, in the morning, when Yashoda came to consciousness, she was so happy, there was a beautiful child there. And she embraced the child. Now, we understand, many descriptions are given, that everyone in Vrindavan, Braj, was so much attracted to this child Krishna. Everyone. Why? Because he is the all-attractive Supreme Lord. He is Krishna. Even though knowing, even if you don't know that he is Krishna, you still become attracted to him. And all the residents of Braj were attracted to Krishna. And Mother Yashoda, just like everyone else, every other devotee, was attracted to the baby Krishna. And she nurtured him. And of course she had a wonderful relationship with Krishna, and different pastimes were manifesting. Sometimes very pleasant pastimes. Sometimes Mother Yashoda was put in fear. And what was the fear? The fear was that Krishna is always going to be harmed by someone. Because as we see in the further pages of Bhagavatam, we find all these different demons who are associates of Kansa are coming to Braj and Gokul to kill Krishna. So Mother Yashoda is always put into all kind of difficulties trying to protect Krishna from the fear of killing him. But of course, nobody can kill Krishna. But still, that pastime is there for experiencing different relationship with Krishna. So these are all wonderful things which we can understand. But the point which we can learn ourselves, as I said, month before Janmashtami appears, we are all hyped up about Janmashtami. Krishna is coming, Krishna is coming. Well, Krishna is not coming. He's already here. For me, Krishna came here to what was called Piggott's Manor in 1973, prior to George Harrison's good office, giving this place to Srila Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada got this place in 1973, on the Janmashtami of 1973, Srila Prabhupada very kindly, out of his causeless mercy, brought Gokulananda here. And since that day, Krishna is always here. He's not coming. He's here. Only our mindset is saying, oh, Janmashtami is coming, Krishna is going to appear. Krishna is already here. He doesn't need to appear again and again and again. But of course, I suppose that is maybe our pastime of thinking Krishna is going to come again and again and again. So that is a different rasa which we can absorb ourselves into it. But for me, we have to understand what Prabhupada is saying in this 14th verse of the nature of Krishna, and try to understand Krishna, the Supreme Person, of how we can get to know him and then serve him. And the last part of the purpose Srila Prabhupada is saying is that you approach a bona fide spiritual master and you submissively inquire from him. Why? Because he knows the truth. And we have now that opportunity. Of course, sometimes people are questioning who is a bona fide guru or who is not a bona fide guru. But Srila Prabhupada says, anyone who repeats the message of the previous acharya is qualified to be the guru. Guru means not just giving diksha, but giving that transcendental knowledge. If you repeat the same knowledge which has been coming down in guru parampara, then the knowledge is perfect. The medium may not be completely perfect, but the knowledge is perfect. And why the knowledge is perfect? Because this knowledge cannot be contaminated by anyone or anything. Knowledge about Krishna is pure. It will always remain pure. So even if it comes through a contaminated source, it still remains pure. Just as Prabhupada says, gold in his natural state is very pure, and if it happens to fall into a gutter and becomes contaminated by the sewage water, still the gold will remain pure. And you pick it out, it will still remain pure. Gold will not be contaminated. All of a sudden, the gold, if you take out of a gutter, and then you pick it up and you go, and gold has got now the fragrance of sewage. No. The gold will still remain gold. So similarly, the knowledge, the transcendental knowledge, which is coming down from the Supreme Lord Himself, which is coming down in paramparic line, if that message is pure, then the effect will be always there, and the person who receives this knowledge will also be the beneficiary of the transcendental knowledge and understand the Supreme Lord. Therefore, we are very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us all this knowledge, He's given us His books. We just have to understand and follow these instructions, and gradually become pure so that we become attracted to the service of the Lord. Because our only business is to serve the Lord, and no other business. Although in our day-to-day life we have many other things which we want to get engaged in, and we think they are more important. But there is nothing more important than serving the Lord. So either you can serve the Lord directly by proper training and come and serve Radha Gokulananda, there is unlimited service available. Otherwise, the other service which we can perform 24/7 is we chant the holy name of the Lord. If we develop attachment for Krishna, attraction for Krishna, then we should be chanting His holy name 24/7. Not that we chant for our prescribed rounds, that we have chanted 16 rounds of the Japa Mala which we have promised, and that's it. Deed done for the day. Any free moment you have, when you're not engaged in any particular service for the pleasure of the Lord, then you chant. And if you develop this consciousness, then you will definitely become just like Vasudev, fully realize about the Supreme Lord, and you'll always be fully, fully blissful. And there is no chance of us being morose or grossed out or under the influence, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, that the three modes of material nature, this is the very nature of the material world. The world is based on the principle or the brick, building bricks of the three modes. And as long as we are under that three modes, then we will always be affected by these three modes to some extent or the other. But as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, O Arjuna, rise above these three modes. Become transcendental to these three modes. And it is possible to become transcendental to these three modes even though while we are in this material world. Why? Because if we are fully sheltered by Krishna and the shield of Krishna, then this world cannot touch us. And we see that great saintly persons who are transcendentalists, who have transcended the three modes, even though while living this material world, they are not affected by this world. But if you are not transcendental, then of course there is every chance that we may be pulled down by either mode of passion, mode of ignorance, even mode of goodness. And all these modes will definitely then make us act on the platform of goodness, passion or ignorance. And any activity done in these modes is binding us further to this material world. So therefore, this process of Krishna consciousness is to transcend these three modes. And this is possible simply by the process given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is Krishna consciousness. So we just have to follow this with great determination. And if we follow this with determination, then definitely we will rise above these three modes and be free from these misconception of this material world and always become blissful. And of course, at the end, when that inevitable end comes, we are quite happy to go back to the spiritual world. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much. If anybody has any questions, any comments...